Esther. Rather, how God, yes, God, once again saved his people. It reminds me that ever since some 6,000 years ago or so, God said to the serpent, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." Satan has been trying ever since to corrupt the seed of the woman. Interesting expression, the seed of the woman, do you think? Women have eggs, not seeds. Our thanks go to Isaiah for his clarification. "Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." And Luke amplifies. "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Mary asked. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." Because that seed came from outside humanity, the Son of God, who was to come, was referred to as the seed of the woman. So back to Satan's attempt to corrupt the seed of the woman, his first go is in Genesis 6, when fallen angels interbred with human women, and as you know, the global flood took care of that. His last go was through Herod the Great, who had all the baby boys under 2 years old killed in and around Bethlehem. As you know, an angel took care of that when he alerted Joseph to flee to Egypt. There were others in between, one of which was the one we have just celebrated, or rather, its failure we've just celebrated. Of course, Satan's tactics have changed since the Jewish nation's rejection of Jesus as their Messiah, and the Jews are his target now. In my view, the best explanation for this horrendous anti-Semitism that has plagued mankind, or rather Gentile kind, ever since. And why has Satan changed his tactics? Having failed in his previous approach to frustrate the first coming, all he can do is to try to frustrate now the second coming. Because he knows that upon Jesus' return, he'll be very swiftly dispatched into prison, the abyss, for 1,000 years. He knows Jesus will only return when the Jewish nation asks him to. The only thing it can do to stop him coming is to annihilate the Jewish people, something he has tried very hard to do for a long time. His greatest but partial success, of course, was the Holocaust, when a third of world Jewry was murdered. Interestingly, on the 16th of October 1946, 10 Nazis were hung in Nuremberg, like the 10 sons of Haman. One of them was Julius Streicher, who, as he was hung, cried out, "Purim 1946. Unfortunately, things will get worse in the tribulation. There will be the time when 2/3 of the Jewish nation will be annihilated, according to Zechariah 13:8. As indeed will at least 1/3 of all mankind, according to Revelation 9:18. However, Many a time throughout history, the nation has been spared for the sake of the remnant. And God has always had a remnant that will be saved. Have that in Romans 9:27. The tribulation is no exception. Even though Satan is still trying to do the way with God's remnant, Revelation 12:17, but this, his last attempt, also fails. For God has guaranteed the Jewish people and nation will survive the times of the Gentiles. Finally, when the nation realizes who it is they have rejected and look upon him, the one they pierced, and mourn as one mourns for one's only child, and grieve bitterly as one grieves for a firstborn son, God's spirit of grace and supplication will also cause them to plead for Messiah's return, resulting in Israel's national salvation, and that is the remaining third, the remnant.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Listen to what God says about his final remnant. This third I will put into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will call, the Lord is our God. And so all Israel will be saved. Let us celebrate. Huh? What do you say? But before that, I think Sarah, or is it the first eunuch, has a message of welcome for you. All right, just a moment. Come on.
Hello, everybody. It's so good to see you all again. Do you know, for me, one of the special things of Foundations is the fact, well, the logo is, isn't it? It's faith, family, and fellowship. And the family part of Foundations is so special. And, you know, when we came here today, and we were just hugging everybody as family. We're not just people that go to the same conference. We're family. And I think that's just totally amazing. Do you know, I remember Jose and I first came to Foundations, number 7 was our first one. And I can remember Steve at supper standing up and saying that, he said, how many people have been here before? And probably half of the people put their hands up. And I thought to myself, this is extraordinary. Who would want to go to the same conference year after year? I've been to loads of conferences, honestly, but I don't think there's any one that I would want to go back year on year. And I know, actually, Malcolm, you are probably the only one here who has been to all the conferences, all 11 of them, aren't you? Which is amazing. And I think the reason that we do is because we meet in family. And because family is something that is disappearing or diminishing so fast in the world that we live in today, it's quite frightening. And maybe here is the place where we can have family. I mean, one is so grateful for David and Kayla with the way they bring up their family, and for Barry and Amy, the way that's family. But we've lost it in so many ways. But I think being here is a real family. And there's a scripture that I wonder if it's anybody else's within their top 10 favorite scriptures, but it certainly is mine. And as we're doing Ephesians, I really felt right to read this and to share my feeling on, I don't know, just my thoughts of this scripture, which is Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 5, which says, And this is in the New Living Bible. It says, long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own. Through what Christ would do for us, he decided then to make us holy in his eyes without a single fault. We who stand before him covered with his love, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. I think that's the most unbelievable scripture. And you know, it's not for me to teach. I'm not standing here teaching. I am just sharing really my thoughts on this. And this, when we read this, we are all his sons. And we have all been adopted into his family. I wonder how many of you know that in the time of Jesus, the law, the Roman law was that adopted sons could never, ever be disinherited. Whereas natural sons could. Doesn't that speak volumes to us? We can never be disinherited as his sons. And I just think that is just the most amazing thing. And, you know, whether we want to or not, we are family. We are all brothers and sisters together. And really that's the thought that I wanted to bring to you, because enjoy being family. And how many of you here are here for the first time? Quite a few of you. You are so welcome to the Foundations family. You know, in family, as it should be, and it probably isn't in many homes today, you know, there were so many things that families did together. You know, the father would teach. The family would learn together. They would eat together. I mean, how many families don't eat together these days? They would share together. They would laugh together. They would cry together. They could fail together. Isn't it wonderful that when we fail, we have our brothers and sisters to cheer us on and say, okay, it's okay. We've all failed, but we can make it through because of each other, because we love each other, and because we want each other to be healed, we want each other to be changed, we want each other to succeed. And that's what family is. We can be creative together. And this is a lot of what Foundations is about. Learn new things, those that have never been before. There's so many things that you can do, and we're here to encourage you to do it. So I just want to give that welcome to you, and enjoy your time. Forget the things that are happening at home if you can, because otherwise it will interfere with a precious time that you've taken out just to be here and enjoy each other, and enjoy above all, enjoy Jesus, enjoy your Heavenly Father. He loves it, you know. He loves it when we lay down time for him, listen to him, hear him, and take on the precious, there's still the things that are still small voice that we can hear when we have time. Listen, because he's got wonderful things to say to you. So for those of you that we already know, it's wonderful to be back again together. And those that we're going to get to know, you are so very, very warmly welcome.